At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
Well, I hope that some of you hear that and you go, oh, okay, and not just like, oh, Annie's out again. Yes, she is. She's still got laryngitis. We do believe that she's going to have enough voice to be back tomorrow, but we were hoping for that today. But here we are, still the B team filling in for Annie. We are the Manny Fry Show. I'm Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range, Ethan Hannaford, all will be your hosts today. Let's start with the big fight between a local guy, Josh Hawley, and the President of the United States. That is Donald Trump. You don't usually hear that those two are fighting, but they are, and it's over this topic.
And so when you look at what members of Congress are privy to, what they are able to trade on, the access that they have, it's just qualitatively different than your average Joe or Jane, which is why we ought to put into place common sense guardrails that say, if you want to be a member of Congress, you can put your, you want to save, great. You can buy mutual funds, you can buy broadly diversified investment vehicles. You should not be able to buy and trade individual stock shares in which, frankly, we have an interest in the work that we do. We have information that no other people get, no other members of the public have. This bill would finally redress that.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody disagrees with that other than maybe the president, but I don't think it's actually the president disagreeing. In fact, I've read his comments, disagreeing with the overarching statements that Hawley is making there, that Congress has a lot of information that the average person doesn't have. So the question is, what should be done about it? Because we all, I think, hopefully both sides of the aisle, agree that you shouldn't have this insider trading that Congress can do. It's technically legal because insider trading doesn't apply to Congress in this way. It's very, you know, the laws are written in such a way that Congress can kind of weasel out of them. So Hawley is addressing that head on. Hawley, for all of his sake, is really doing an image remake, in my opinion. Maybe that's not the Hawley camp's position on it, but he has shifted from being, to me, a very traditional, maybe even MAGA-style conservative, to now more of a populist.
Yeah, he's definitely going populism.
In the last 6 months, and some of it's cool. Some of it, I hear him grilling airlines and being like, hey, can you tell us exactly how you come up with your baggage fees? And they're like,
no.
You're like, yeah, go Josh Hawley. And grilling credit cards for predatory practices. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, yeah, man, go for it. But when he's saying $600 rebate checks because we're getting tariffs and we're $37 trillion in debt, I'm like, But I do think that there's a really good debate happening here on this topic with insider stock trading. Here's a little bit more about what he's seen on the inside from Congress, even around COVID and the stock trading that took place in that era.
Sometimes people say, well, we already have insider trading laws. We don't need a stock ban. Well, The information that members of Congress are privy to is technically not covered by the insider trading laws, but nobody really believes that the information that we get isn't valuable. It is quite valuable, which is why back during COVID, you saw members of Congress of both parties engage in a flurry of stock trading right after they were getting COVID briefings. Were members of the public getting those briefings? They were not. Were members of the public privy to the kind of information that was being given to members of Congress? No, they were not.
Ooh, and who's the worst offender? It's the one we all know, Nancy Pelosi. But it's not just Nancy Pelosi, it's her husband. And so there's a lot more to that story because there's spouses involved. Here's the thing, though. Hawley is now drawn the ire of President Trump, but not just President Trump. Other Republicans in Congress, like Rick Scott.
My amendment is to get a review of all the trading by Nancy Pelosi and her husband for the last 25 years. I think it's critical to get to the root of why this bill was proposed and get transparency for the American people. I agree that we've got to figure out, you know, why people don't trust. And I think Speaker Pelosi is the prime example. So this amendment calls for an inspector general to issue a GAO report on the Pelosi trading for the last 25 years with a report back to the committee within 180 days. I urge my colleagues to support my amendment.
Okay, so that's Rick Scott. He's from Florida. These are all senators, Josh Hawley, Rick Scott, senators. They are debating this right now, and this is, I think it's called the Pelosi Act, actually. Which is funny. I think they came up with an acronym somehow to make it Pelosi. And who's, of course, not in the Senate. She's in the House, but this would apply to any lawmaker. It would apply to Congress in general, Senate, House, and President and Vice President. And that's why Trump has been weighing in. I pulled that clip because that is Republican Rick Scott posting from his own account what he wants you to know that he's doing instead of what Josh Hawley's doing. Now, if you're wanting context here, Josh Hawley is actually siding with mostly Senate Democrats on this. So it's unusual. It's why it's very interesting, because why is he siding with Democrats? Or at least what common ground have they found on this Pelosi Act, who is a Democrat? It's very odd, right? So I'm walking you through this because you gotta understand the different factions, different angles people are coming at this. Rick Scott is saying, don't do it that way. In fact, do it this other way. I've proposed an amendment that will go after people who do this. So yes, we don't like what Pelosi has done. How about we just go after Pelosi instead of making the whole thing illegal? That was his cultivated clip that he posted on his account. Here's what Democrats are posting that he also said in that hearing.
So this idea that we're going to attack people because they make money is wrong. Is absolutely wrong. We should cherish all of our different backgrounds. Every one of us has a different background. I've got a business background. But what I was just accused of is making money, and somehow I can't be fair and do things the right way. So I think it's disgusting what is going on here.
He does not want this act to
pass.
Was
that a Democrat?
No, that was Rick Scott.
That was Rick Scott.
That was
okay.
Rick Scott. Now, that's not the clip he posted, but that is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what that's the 20-second clip that Democrats are posting saying, look, he's trying to be above the law. He doesn't want accountability. In a sense, that's true. He does not want this to pass. And they're saying, well, it's because he's so rich. He's one of the richest members of Congress. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's, are you doing insider stock trading? His argument is they shouldn't pass this because we should be able to self-police. Do you think that passes muster, Brad Range?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I've had solutions for this, too, because I get where some of these congressmen are coming from. You're living in D.C. and you have to have a home in your home district. So you got to pay to live in D.C., which I found out when I was out there is incredibly expensive. Like, one of the most expensive places to live is in, I think, Langley, Virginia, right across the river in Virginia. But like, where you live in D.C. is super expensive, and you have to be able to afford that. Well, if you're not allowed to trade stock, then you have to be able to make enough money to survive while you're out there. And I know everybody's listening going, what do you mean survive? And it's like, you still got to pay rent. You know, there's stories about the congressmen and women, you know, sharing offices and stuff like this. So my solution is this. Whenever we abolish the Department of Education, we turn that into a dorm for Congress.
I've heard you say that before. That's a creative solution. So Rick Scott is against it. Hawley is for it. Mostly Democrats are for it in this form. Generally, though, Republicans are all for banning stock trading. The devil's in the details. They can't figure out how to do it because there's so many workarounds. Yeah. You know, we mentioned Pelosi. We mentioned Paul Pelosi. Nancy, I think, has come out recently and said, look, I haven't traded stocks in years.
Not my husband has, but
she won't say that part. She won't say that part, but Paul Pelosi will. So why wouldn't you just use your spouse? I think if you pass this law, you would see a lot of spouses getting in on the stock game real fast.
Yeah.
But here's Trump on this topic.
I like it conceptually. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi became rich by having inside information. She made a fortune with her husband, and I think that's disgraceful. So in that sense, I'd like it, but I'd have to really see I study these things very carefully, and this just happened. So I'll take a look at it. But conceptually, I like it. And what I do think is Nancy Pelosi should be investigated because she has the highest return of anybody practically in the history of Wall Street, save a few. How did that happen? It happened by she knows exactly what's going to happen, what's going to be announced. She buys stock, and then the stock goes up after the announcement's made. And she ought to be investigated.
That was calm Trump. That was calm Trump talking about the topic. Apparently, he, after this, went and read this bill and then got on Twitter. And he goes, very much like sabotage the Democrats because of our tremendous achievements and success. Some of those words are capitalized, have been trying to target me for a long period of time, and they're using Josh Hawley, who I got elected twice, as a pawn to help them, Trump groused on Truth Social. I don't think real Republicans want to see their president, who has unprecedented success, targeted because of the whims of a second-tier senator named Josh Hawley. So these are strange times making strange bedfellows, because usually Hawley and Trump agree. I mean, even Trump is a populist in a lot of ways. So, you know, there's a rift here, and it's all in the details. And so I kept digging, trying to find, well, what are the details? What is Hawley so confident in that if they pass this, that it will stop? What is Rick Scott so adamant against in this? I think it's that he would personally not be able to trade stocks anymore. And he's like, well, that's a freedom issue. I understand the argument, but I don't think self-police has worked so far. So what else is there to this? Because there's other Republicans than Rick Scott, although he's been very vocal. What about Rand Paul? He's a stalwart on these kinds of things. I could see him going either way, couldn't you? On this kind of issue, he either would be like, absolutely, there's so much rampant fraud and misconduct with people using their positions of authority and insider information that we should ban it. He also could say, no, this won't work. And here's the side that he landed on. He landed on, this won't work, but it's a completely different reason than Rick Scott.
Future presidents wouldn't be allowed to own things. So if Donald Trump were the next president, which, you know, some say he might run for a third term, but he would be forced to divest everything. He would have to sell all of his possessions. And I think Donald Trump's got a complicated, probably, financial empire. And a lot of people just wouldn't want to sell it or get involved with all of that. You also don't want to sell it during a downturn. There's a lot of reasons it would discourage successful people. And I frankly think that some of the success of Donald Trump being president is that he was used to the world of high finance, used to making deals with large amounts of money. Yep. And I don't think we want to discourage people like that from holding office.
So okay. I thought that was a great cap to this whole discussion. Rand Paul coming in from the top rope and saying, look, I don't think people are getting the gist of why this is happening. Why are Democrats getting behind this bill? Why would Democrats get behind a bill called the Pelosi Act, which is clearly targeting Pelosi, even though she's in the House and they're in the Senate? I get that. But why would they get behind this at all? Well, it looks to me like Rand Paul's got the nail on the head here, that they're trying to discourage business people from running for office. If you know anything about the populist left, the Bernie Sanders left, they want completely public funded elections. They want all of these things to be funded by the taxpayer to get money out of it. Now, that's an interesting conversation to be had, but that's what this, apparently, according to Ron Paul, will do, is you'll get a lot of business people who'd look at public office, and this is probably across the whole country, not just in federal office. My guess is this would apply to, well, any federal office across the entire country. Yeah. That if you had a lot of money, you'd have to really change what you owned to ever run. And that would discourage a lot of business people. A lot of business people, a lot of Republicans. I think we're getting to the root of the problem here. So, love to know what you think about this topic. And if you want to talk to either of us or Annie Fry, who's in the chat right now, you can log on to YouTube and type in Annie Fry Show, and you can talk to us there. We're going to talk about the YouTube live chat poll in a little bit, too. But first, let's talk to Hans von Spakovsky, catch up on everything legal, including where is Obamagate right now. We'll do that next.
So here's my question. What will you do to fight back? Meet outrage with organizing. Meet mass deportations with mass mobilizations. Overcome the distractions with demonstrations. Do everything you can so that 30 years from now, Latinos in America can look back to this moment as the reason they got involved. It starts with us. And I look forward to fighting each and every day alongside all of you.
We the people of the United States.
Our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, thank you for being here. Democrats repeat their despicable history of encouraging defiance of federal laws is your latest article, and it's about this topic right here. Hans, thanks for being here.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no, it's talking about illegal aliens and the way they keep defending allowing illegal aliens in the country, obstructing enforcement. They keep talking about labor. They keep talking about, well, we need these illegals to do our gardens, to till our fields, etc. I mean, those are exactly the same arguments that slave owners used before the Civil War to defend slavery. And I don't see much difference. In fact, the rhetoric is often very much the same. And Southern slave owners also, and their Democratic representatives, engage in the same kind of, we need to stop federal enforcement. We need to obstruct federal enforcement. I don't see much difference between what they were doing and what they're trying to do today.
Yeah, Hans, we know they're trying to influence public opinion. They're losing on that issue.
Right.
They're trying through the courts, though, too. The first 6 months of Trump's term, they have done everything legally possible. Are they winning battles there?
Well, they are at the district court levels. They're doing that by going to liberal judges in just a handful of districts. And almost all these folks are Biden appointees. But they are tending to lose when the Justice Department under Pam Bondi appeals these cases. In the last 2 months, the U.S. Supreme Court on emergency appeals has issued stay after stay after stay. And look, these federal judges now are so extreme that this week, even the Washington Post, if you can believe it, the Washington Post came out with an editorial condemning a Biden appointee in Massachusetts who had said that the big, beautiful bill, which, you know, cut funding to Planned Parenthood, that Congress couldn't do that. that Trump couldn't sign a bill like that. They had to keep funding. In other words, interfering with Congress's constitutional right to decide how to spend federal money and who they're going to give it to. Even the Washington Post was condemning this judge. And it just goes to show, you know, a broken clock is right at least once a day. And here the Washington Post was correct about that.
The broken clock of the Washington Post. Hans, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because yesterday I was sitting in my office with one Mark Cox, who you probably also know.
Oh, yeah.
And he was looking at an article, and I can't even remember the topic, but what he said was, there was another nationwide injunction just released. I thought the Supreme Court stopped this stuff. I figured it'd be a good opportunity to ask you, why are we still seeing something? I don't know if they're still called nationwide injunctions or if they're just using different language to issue nationwide right. impact rulings after the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that.
Well, because the Supreme Court left a huge hole in their ruling on that. And it was one that Justice Alito mentioned. He said, okay, yeah, we've said universal injunctions are not appropriate, but they are okay under one specific circumstance. And that is if the judge certifies what's called a class action lawsuit. To do that, to recognize an entire group of people as a class worthy of getting a remedy like that, there are very strict rules that have to be applied. Well, what all these judges are doing, the same ones who have been issuing these injunctions, is they're not following the rules. They're just willy-nilly saying, oh, yep, it's a class, so I can still issue a nationwide injunction. And this isn't going to stop until the Supreme Court steps in again and does what it should have done in that prior decision, the way Justice Alito said, we should have dealt with that particular loophole too.
Hans, we're kind of talking about processes here, so I get if people That's right. are like, well, I don't know, but I still would like to know because it, you know, impacts everything.
That's right.
These things will still work their way to the Supreme Court, I assume.
Yes, they will, because every time the court has issued an emergency stay, what they're saying is there's no injunction while this case works its way through the court. And so, for example, when they recently said, and they issued a stay on a lower court decision that had said, well, you can't fire anybody at the U.S. Department of Education, the court wasn't saying that it was legitimate to do that, that the president had the power. But what they said was, for now, he can fire people at the Department of Education while the courts are determining whether he actually has the power to do that. I think eventually he's going to win on all of these issues.
He's winning. I mean, I follow it not quite as closely as you do, of course, but the headlines I'm seeing all look like so far what Trump is doing is being declared, yes, legal over and over.
Yeah, no, that's correct. But it's happening at the higher courts, not only the courts of appeal, but mostly the Supreme Court. And look, it makes perfect sense because what's happening with all these lower court judges is they're trying to say that the chief executive constitutionally doesn't have the powers of a chief executive, which makes no sense constitutionally and also defies common sense.
It also makes them a higher authority than the president in a sense, right?
That is exactly right. And in fact, you know, that was one of the points that the Washington Post made about this judge in Massachusetts, apparently thinking she's got more power than Congress when it comes to deciding who to fund.
Hans, let's shift gears and talk a little bit about, it was a little over a week ago, I think it was last Wednesday, that DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, went before, well, I think the press briefing room. She had done it a couple of days before this, but she went before the press briefing room and kind of explained what we're now calling Obamagate, I guess. In that Obama and his top intelligence officials appear to have altered all of their own findings to smear or frame Trump coming into office in 2017. What does the process, now that she's given that over to the DOJ and referred it for criminal prosecution,
right.
What happens now?
Well, she said she's setting up a strike force. What that means is they're going to pull in experienced lawyers from different offices within justice that have experience in this. So that'll mean, for example, folks from the criminal division, also folks from the National Intelligence Division, and they're gonna comb through what she's turned over and see if there's additional evidence that is needed to decide whether these folks can be prosecuted. Their job just got a lot more complicated because, as you know, just a day or so ago, Kash Patel at the FBI said they discovered a secret room in which they found all these burn bags. Burn bags are bags that are filled with classified documents that are supposed to be destroyed. And apparently, the leadership wanted these documents, which apparently are all tied to the Russia collusion hoax, to Operation Cross. They wanted them destroyed. And somebody who is an unknown hero at the FBI, instead of sending them offsite to get burned and destroyed, put them secretly away in a room, locked the door, and now we have this additional evidence. So they're going to have to comb through all this and see, one, are there criminal statutes under which these folks can be prosecuted? And second, have the statutes of limitations, have they expired, or can they be stretched out for various reasons?
I'm so glad that you just said that, because I read that story yesterday. It was kind of breaking yesterday afternoon. And I thought, the first thing I thought when I read it was, well, if they're in burn bags and they were tending to be burned, why weren't they burned? It's because you're saying somebody was responsible for that and said, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to hide them.
That's right. That's exactly right. That person, he ought to get, if they discover who it is, he ought to get a big promotion at the FBI for basically doing what I consider to be the honorable thing and preserving evidence of wrongdoing at the highest levels of the U.S. government.
Hans, before we run out of time with you, Annie is not sick. She just doesn't have a voice. And so we've been filling in for her until she can get over laryngitis. And she's in the chat, though. She's participating with us here. And she asked a question that I'm just going to refer back to you now, which is, how much progress has the Trump administration made rooting out the deep staters in the DOJ and the investigative departments? How successful have they been in getting rid of these people who are working against them?
Well, you know, the biggest progress they've made is that all these people, for example, inside the Justice Department, all these lawyers have quit on their own because they've said they don't want to work for Trump. I've seen the list of names, and I know who many of these people are because I encountered them years ago at the Justice Department. And every time I see them, I'm going, thank goodness, finally they're gone. And one of the particular sections I know lots about because I used to work there, used to have about 50 lawyers. So many of them have quit that there's only three left.
Wow.
Which to me is just great because they were some of the most biased partisan lawyers I've ever had to deal with. And the fact they're no longer at the U.S. Justice Department is a good thing for the American people.
That is good, because that's another thing that Tulsi Gabbard has said, and this was probably a month or so ago, that some of these things are taking longer than they should because you have the administrative state that they are now at the top of, but they go to and say, hey, give me this. And they just drag their feet and they take forever.
Right.
And some of them, it didn't sound like maybe they're doing it nefariously, but that's just the way things are. And it sounds like some of them are just leaving. So that's good news. Last question for you here, Hans. I keep saying last question. Well, so we'll see. You know, maybe this won't be. But how long will this take? Because everybody wants to see justice. And especially those who've been on this topic for a long time, since 2017, saying, man, this is ridiculous. How long will this investigation take, the strike force, to see something come about that everybody goes, okay, finally, we're seeing it?
Well, it really depends on two things. One, how many lawyers they can pull in from the various departments inside DOJ to look at this. And look, I haven't seen those burn bags, but the reports are that there are literally thousands of documents in there. You think about how long it's going to take to review those, to find what evidence it is there. So anybody who expects a result next week, that's not going to happen. I hope they work on it quickly, but they've got a lot of things to review. And like I said, those latest findings by Kash Patel have really complicated their job.
You know how I said that was the last question and I said it might not be? It wasn't. So, okay, so then last one. Will this all be done in Washington, D.C.? You know, is that complicate this because it's all D.C. courts going to be having to look at this?
Well, I think all the materials, all the documents, everything are in Washington. So it'll be the main office of the Justice Department that'll be looking at this. They might pull in people from U.S. attorney's offices and other parts of the country. I suspect that if they decide prosecution is warranted, they'll try to avoid D.C. and file across the Potomac River in Virginia. They used to do that with terrorism cases because they knew that the D.C. juries were so bad. Mm-hmm. So they would always go to Virginia to file terrorism cases during, for example, the Bush administration. Mm.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye out and we'll keep talking to you, Hans, as we do every week. Thanks.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. We are going to take a quick break. I don't even know if we've mentioned the poll. We're about to. You know, we'll do the time check Brad will do here. He's going to mention this. But the poll is, should Missouri redraw its congressional districts to be more favorable to Republicans? Couple options there. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to set an appointment here with you a little bit. It's out there, though. 2:03. So come back at 2 o'clock if you can't be here for the whole show. Be sure to be here at 2 because we're going to talk with Steve Cortez about this topic, not just for Missouri, but for every state. This guy knows a lot. We're going to dig into how this could play out. What's the legality of it? What's the timeline? How will it impact the midterms? And of course, how will Missouri play into that? Will Missouri play into that? I'm fascinated by this topic. If you are too, be here at 2 o'clock for Steve Cortez. We're going to take a short break and come right back with Bob and Tammy Kershaw, the Retirement Advisory Group. Stick around. Bob and Tammy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annie Kershaw from the Retirement Advisory Group are here, and I was apologizing that Annie is not here to talk to you guys because she's going to be at your event on Tuesday.
She will be, yes.
But before we get into the event, I will say that she actually is here. She's with us in spirit and in digital fashion. She's actually saying, hi, Bob and Tammy in all caps in our chat online. So hello from Annie.
Hi, Annie. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, so, hopefully you're feeling better soon.
So yeah, so she's going to be there Tuesday night. I am coming in fresh. You know, I've heard you guys talk about this, of course.
Yes.
But I'm going to come at this like I've never been to an event, which is who you're talking to. If you've never been to one of these events before, that is who's invited. But why should I come to an event, which is Tuesday, and what do I hear about?
So first off, it's Tuesday, August the 5th at 6:30 p.m. at the St. Louis Hilton Frontenac. We only keep you there for an hour. You got Annie, Mark Cox, all them come. We have a little bit of fun at first, of course, do a little bit of trivia, and then we only talk about 45 minutes. We can get you in and out. But most importantly, what we're going to do is educate you on how you can link to the market. When you link to the market, you don't have to worry about losing a penny of your principal. We're proud to say in 39 years, we've never lost a penny of our client's money because they follow our advice on linking to the market where you can get market gains. Just don't have to risk your principal doing it. And then more importantly, I'll let Tammy get into what a lot of people don't realize when they're nearing their retirement.
They don't realize is they need an income plan because it is essential when you're in retirement to get an income plan, and we will provide that for you just to make sure you can have a secure retirement and make sure you don't run out of money. Everyone wants to know, how much money am I going to have in retirement? Is it going to last me for the rest of my life, right? So we will show you that with that income plan. We'll put that together for you.
I would say 90% of the people that we talk to that are 59 and a half or older that are already retired or near retirement have never been offered or have never looked and had set up for them a personalized structured income plan. They don't realize the importance of it. Right. So not only are we going to get into that, but we also get into guys to show how much fees a lot of people don't realize that on an average brokerage account or IRA that they're paying about 2 to 4% in fees, and on a 401k, 403b, they're paying 3 to 5%. So what we're also going to do is we're going to show you how to eliminate those fees. Keep that money in your pocket, let your retirement go a whole lot further.
So in what life phase do you recommend coming to your seminar? Like what age, you know, where are you at?
When you're 59 and a half or older, you're able to roll over your company, 401k, things like that. IRAs, you can roll over at any age. And folks, if you just happen to have a 401k or 403b with a previous company that you're no longer with and you're not quite 59 and a half, that's okay. We're able to help you with those also.
Yes.
It sounds to me like what you're offering in a lot of ways is peace of mind.
That's exactly
it. Because there's so many ups and downs to the market that, you know, something comes out one day and it's always something that you can never predict. You know, it is. Everything could be fine, and then tomorrow one person says the wrong word in Pakistan, and all of a sudden the market's going, ah!
It all goes.
And we don't have to worry about it.
And markets do not like uncertainty, and that's what's happening. So
I have a question. Can people who have recently retired benefit from this?
Absolutely. Anybody. Yes. It's very important. Even if you're happy where you're at and you show up and you know what, you're going to leave with more knowledge before you came, and you're going to know that there's other options out there. We don't pressure anybody. We just let you know what your options
are. So to piggyback onto that. Yeah. So if you live in a household, my wife and I have an age gap.
Mm-hmm.
If one of us is retired and the other one isn't and still wanting to work, or if you're both of retirement age and one person just wants to keep working, is this a seminar appropriate for them too?
It's perfect.
Absolutely.
For them.
That's a great question. And it will help you out for sure.
Mm-hmm. People, here's one thing that I've learned from, you know, meeting you guys, hearing about these events for quite a while now. People who come, they like what they hear, and they walk away going, yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Everybody does. It's just to know, people don't realize when you're younger, Wall Street's fine. You have time to ride those ups and downs. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. You're riding a Wall Street roller coaster every day. You guys are getting up, looking at the market going, oh no, what's my 401k down today? That's stressful. Nobody wants to do that. If you know that you can have safe money and that when you do retire, that money is going to be there for you, that's huge. Just like you said, Ryan, that's peace of mind, and that's what people want.
So Tuesday night, 6:30.
Yes, Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. at the St. Louis Hilton Frontenac. You can call us at 314-993-9494, or you can go online to retirementkey.com. That's retirementkey.com.
Retirementkey.com. And just a reminder, if you want to hang out with Annie Fry, she'll be there too. She'll be there at 6 o'clock if you want to. You know what's going to be weird? If she doesn't have her voice back by then, you'll be able to shake her hand, and you'll just be able to tell her anything you want, and she'll have to listen. There's nothing she can do.
She'll try to respond, but
we hope she's back tomorrow. I think, you know, we're on the path to recovery, so we hope to have Annie back tomorrow, and she will be full voiced probably by Tuesday.
Hopefully,
if she's not, we've got a lot of stuff for her to say.
Okay,
I'm joking.
You just keep feeding cookies. All right, we'll be right back again with Wiggins America. We're going to do a little bit different Wiggins America than we usually do. Sometimes we have Ethan lead it. Sometimes I'll still lead it. We're going to do it by committee because it's a really strange story that Brad has presented. So stick around for that coming up next on the Annie Fry Show. Was this even in the folder?
It was as of a few days ago.
You know what's funny?
I'm pretty sure Annie sent this to me.
I like
For Wiggins America.
I like pop music more than I care to admit, but not this. This is that the early
the
cheap crap pop that you can just make on a button on a computer.
Come on, this is a vibe. Mr. Vain.
Mr. Vain.
It's a perfect song for Wiggins America.
Ugh, all right, let's get to it.
I'm pretty sure that she's
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! All right, this is a weird Wiggins America because not any one of us in particular is leading it. It is based on waking up this morning to a message that Brad sent me that he goes, hey, check this out. And I saw the title of it and I said, I don't want to look at that first thing in the morning. And then I never did. And I said, all right, just bring it in for Wiggins America. So set this up before we listen to the audio. set up exactly what we're hearing here.
So this is a group of people, and if you look at these people, you would know they voted for Kamala Harris.
How? But,
you know, it's a young, white, liberal women.
Okay.
Maybe some dudes that you're like, oh.
Dyed hair.
Yeah, dyed hair. Some older people there, too. But okay. Yeah, they're all lined up on the shore. It looks like Navy Pier up in Chicago on Michigan, Lake Michigan, and they're kind of like looking out over the lake.
So it's a scenic view.
Yeah, very pretty.
How many of them are there?
Oh, gosh, there has to be at least 50 or 60 people
so
out there.
So it's not a small group.
No, it's not a small group. It's a large enough group that the organizer has a bullhorn to use.
And the organizer is giving them orders?
He gives them a command. It's like 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
And then they're all supposed to do this.
Okay. Go ahead. Oh, am I playing?
Yeah, you got
it. Okay, here we go. They all do this when told start.
2, 1.
That was the audio Brad pulled. Here's the audio I pulled. Show, show. Thank you very much. We'll be here until 3 o'clock.
And that's Wiggins America.
And that's Wiggins America. Thank you very much.
When in reality, I actually pulled both of them.
Okay, fair. Yeah. But I asked you to.
You
do I
did.
Get credit for that?
You did. You do.
I looked this up. Yelling therapy?
Yeah. So this organization is called, Scream Club Chicago. It's got a website. It's thescreamclub.com if you guys want to go check it out. I'm looking at it right now. And basically,
everybody's rushing the website.
Yeah. This family, this couple, and this is going to make me cringe when I read this. He says, "We're Manny and Elena, partners in life and growth. Beautiful. For 2 years, we did long distance dating before Manny moved to Chicago from Los Angeles."
Manny?
At the end of 2020.
I get it.
But basically, like what this is a group. They meet weekly for an emotional release. They call it an emotional release gathering. And basically they go and they take all their stress and they scream it out over Lake Michigan.
Does it have to be over the lake?
Well, that's where they meet. So I'm assuming, like, I don't think you want to go like in downtown Chicago and just have a group
it's
of
the
people.
Bean.
Yeah, at the Bean.
I don't like you
screaming.
Bean.
Like when you scream it out over Lake Michigan, at least you're screaming in a safe direction. It's a void. You're not yelling at anybody in particular.
True. Like, hey, all 50 of us, let's meet at El Magway.
Yeah. Form a circle and yell at the one waiter.
So yelling therapy, I looked this up. And the reason I even, when I saw that you had sent this, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's real? I didn't know that was a real thing. Because when I got really into Tears for Fears for about a month. And this was about a year ago. For whatever reason, I'm like, I'm going to buy all their albums and I'm going to see if they have any great songs. And I'm so disappointed over and over. I'm doing that with random bands. I just did it with Dire Straits recently. I bought a bunch of their stuff thinking, oh, I'm going to find some deep cuts. I did it with Toto not too long ago. And then I realized after doing it every single time, no, it's just the hits that are good. There's no other songs that are secret gems that everybody's missed. And so when I was looking into Tears for Fears and Shout, I found that somebody thought that they had written the song about yelling therapy. It turns out that that was not true because nothing is ever true on the internet. But yelling therapy is also known as scream therapy or primal scream therapy, a therapeutic technique that involves expressing emotions, often negative ones, like anger or trauma, through screaming or shouting. It was popularized in the 1970s by some Dr. Arthur Janoff, who believed it could help release pent-up trauma and promote mental well-being.
It doesn't really feel like it's a surprise that it came from the 70s, does it?
No, not really.
I don't see the value in this.
You know, you'd think that maybe sometimes you do just need to like, ah, you know, but does it do anything other than just the moment you feel a little better?
Maybe the moment and the few moments after, but like what it doesn't do is remove the cause of the anxiety,
yeah,
or the stress or whatever. So whenever you're done, like, ah, it's still
good radio
there.
I would think even past the moment of screaming, it's not, yeah, doing anything for you.
Right.
Like the minute you're done yelling.
You just got to come down from it.
You think,
and then,
you think people are like, you know, at work finishing up their day, like, I can't wait to go home and just scream at the freaking pillow.
I don't know, man.
Go out and scream at the lake.
Punching
the waiter.
Pillows and hitting stuff. I did one of those break rooms one time. You ever seen those?
Mm-hmm.
Those rage rooms?
Yeah.
We went, a group of friends of mine all went to Denver. This was just last year. And we found a Groupon for one of those rage rooms. Of course, I did it on a Jeep. And
of course you did.
I would do that just because.
I always wanted to do it just to see.
Just to break stuff.
But it's not, if it would be really cool to me if you walked into a normal room and you're just, and they were like, hey, why don't you just break anything you want? And you're like, sweet, that sounds kind of fun. But it's not like that.
Oh,
it's
stuff's
a, it's a
broken
room where there's already a giant pile of broken electronics in the corner. The room is designed to be hit with hammers, so even the room isn't normal. And then they're like, what do you want? You want a TV or you want some vases? And you're like, well, I guess I'll take some vases. And they're like, that's going to cost extra.
Seriously?
that's kid you not. You. They were like, well, you know, you'll get a glass or a box full of glasses for free. You know, that's just part of it. But if you want a monitor, now we're talking ahead. Hey, for $50, I can get you a windshield. And so we spent $50.
You know, it's your fault. You should have known all this was going to happen as soon as you saw that's Groupon like going, for it.
I know.
That's like going to an escape room where they don't reset the game.
Yeah. Hey, the clues are already there for you. Oh, you want to do your own game.
So is that your preferred kind of therapy? Annie asked that in the chat here.
Oh, really? I should monitor the chat more closely.
Yeah, what's your preferred therapy?
What is your preferred therapy? No. I think mine is just talking to a counselor who loves me and cares about me in Jesus.
You mean like a yeah. normal person?
A normal person.
Got it.
Does it like to go to church? Maybe read my Bible.
Here's a different trend that I pulled up just in case we needed to transition, which we do, because that topic is dead. Montgomery County Police warn of a new TikTok challenge. And this is your generation, Ethan, so clearly you've done this.
Oh, God.
Apparently, the latest TikTok challenge is people just kicking in doors and running inside. Not of their house, of other people's houses. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of this.
You really have. So this is a real thing.
I've heard of it, I think, from trying to find news stories for Ethan's Sports and Local.
Right.
Not from having TikTok and seeing what's going on with the kids these days.
Well, they're catching on video now because a lot of their front doors and there's front door cameras everywhere now. So in this Montgomery County, Philadelphia suburb, a woman caught a supposed prank in action on a Ring camera and shared it with NBC 10. The video showed a group of teenagers run up, kick in her front door, causing damage, and then, you know, not kind of yelling something or whatever, running away.
I've also seen that it goes, in some cases, a level farther than this, where kids will have either paintball guns or like those Orbeez gel guns, and they'll start shooting them at people inside.
That's a terrible idea. That is a terrible idea, because the last thing I want to do is go to prison because I killed somebody that came into my house. That was just, it's just a prank, bro.
There's no way that you would go to prison for that.
Apparently, Jackie says online, she said, I thought it was just kicking in doors and running away. I think it mostly is. I don't think a lot of them are doing the paintball
thing. I'm just
saying,
I have seen cases where it's gotten to that.
You know what sucks is that if I was a teenager in this era, TikTok trends, I'd be so on board. I would be doing that stuff. I'd be doing the planking and the stupid ones. But these are the dark side of that stuff, because that's absolutely ridiculous. And the mob action stuff, some of those I even find to be somewhat entertaining if the prank is very fun. And the key to it is at the end, does the person who got pranked think, oh, that was funny and
yes,
fun?
Correct.
Because if they're still scared or they're weirded out or whatever, or they're mad, then to me, that ruins the whole thing. And I'm finding more and more online when you see those videos, because people are doing them like crazy because they get lots of reaction, where you run up to somebody and there's one I saw recently that there were a little kid sitting on a bench next to usually an older guy and a woman standing in front of her, or the kid, both of them, with a skirt. The kid would run up and lift the girl's skirt and tug on it and then run away. And then the girl would turn around and look at the guy sitting on the bench. That one is really on the line to me. Because if the guy then thinks, uh-oh, she's going to be really mad and think it was me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all set up. The woman's in on it. The kid's
sure,
in on
sure.
it. The guy's not in on it. So that one to me is like right on the line. But there are ones that are over that line that I feel so bad for the person being pranked that it just ruins the fun mm-hmm. of the prank. It's like late night comedy. It's like you weren't, nobody's in on the joke. If you're on the inside, it's fun for you. If you're not, it's not.
That's why my favorite parts of some of these pranks that go too far in the videos, right, is when they get caught by whoever they were trying to prank, they start getting smacked around yeah. or ripped on, and then they just start yelling, it was just a prank, just a it was prank, just a bro. Prank, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part of those, because I'm like, yeah,
and I know
beat
we're,
them
we're
down.
Running out of time here, but even the ones that are intended to be benevolent, mm-hmm. oh, I'm going to go help this homeless guy, but you got a video crew doing the whole thing, it's like, what are you really trying to accomplish here?
Totally.
Are you actually helping somebody, or are you just trying to get clicks? And, oh, look, I gave this homeless guy a makeover. Now he looks like he's got a nice
Now he
beard.
Looks like a better-looking homeless guy.
Yeah, that stuff drives me crazy. All right, we'll take a short break, and we'll be back. Jerry Willis is going to be with us in the next hour to talk about the Fed rate cuts.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.